Traveling with kids, especially internationally, may sound like a ball of fun. Well, the trip part, maybe not the traveling part. It may sound downright dreadful to think of all the things that you would have to think about or deal with when it comes to traveling with your kids. You know your kids. But fear not, I am here, and in this episode, we're going to talk all about traveling internationally with the kids, what to do beforehand, when you get there, and you know what? It's not as bad as you think. Let's go. Hey guys, my name is Kim Sanders, and welcome to You Are Worth the Work, a podcast that reminds busy moms that following your dreams ain't all rainbows and roses, but you are worth the work that it takes to thrive in this life. After you listen, please rate and review the episode. Also, if you want to connect with me, I'll have that info for you in the show notes. Let's get started. Hey guys, I am so happy to be here, and I'm recording this on a Friday, so happy Fri-yay, as my kids would say. Coming out of a brain fog, right? So last week, we were in England. We took the kids to England. We just came back on Sunday, and they actually did really well, to be honest. I'll get more into that, but all of us are kind of getting back used to our normal, right? We all know that normal depends on the family that you're in, and your normal is different than my normal. I will say there are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 baskets of clothes that I have to fold. They're clean. They just need to be folded. And getting back into the swing of work and the boys with school and practice, it's been a journey. So that's, you know, it's been a thing, but I'm glad to be here and be on the mic with you guys again. Update on tournament season. In the last tournament, the boys got runner-up in their bracket, which was really cool. What was also really cool was we went straight from that tournament to the airport to get on our flight to England. And that was pretty fun. And uniform and all. And so I'm talking, we all have our gear on. The boys have their uniform on. We did the things. We walked through the airport. Thank goodness there was like a section where you can go with families, like people with children and older people and like people in wheelchairs like that. The idea of standing in that TSA line that day, right then, after we had been at the ball field all day long, I don't know. We would have done it, but I don't think any of us would have been happy. So we did that. Uniform and all, you know, and people were talking about, are we headed to a game? Nope. We are coming from one. And so I've got a picture, I think I posted on my Instagram of the boys standing in front of a, you know, one of those red telephone booths in London in their baseball gear because we had just got there. We had not even changed clothes. Our room was not ready yet because we flew overnight. So that's that. So how did we decide on going to England and why now? Well, we were invited to a wedding, which was really cool. So my husband and I were invited to a wedding, and the Save the Date came out a year ago. So we knew we were going to go. And then as the time kind of got closer, we started thinking about it, like, we should probably bring the kids and make it, you know, kind of like a family trip. And I say trip and not vacation, because remember, a vacation is a trip that you take without your children. A trip is a trip that you take with your children because you still have to be a parent. You still have to parent. So it's not as relaxing as you think it is. Luckily, my in-laws came with us, and that was pretty cool. You know, they wanted to come, and so they were able to come with us. And so we were able to go to the wedding with just the two of us, which was really nice to get dressed up and be grown-ups and, you know, go to a really nice wedding. I guess it was a 2-hour train ride from London. So that was really cool. But it's not like something. So I know another mom who decides on, and she's super well-versed in international travel, especially with her children. And she told me one day that they jump on Google, right? You know how you can search for like cheap flights. And that's how they figure out where they're going. They jump on the Googles and figure out the cheapest flight. And I think there's five of them in their family. And that's how they figure it out. Because I mean, it's not cheap, right? Flying internationally is not cheap. Well, flying anymore doesn't seem to be very cheap, but they're able to find really good prices. And if you're flexible in your location, that's a pretty good, that's a pretty good idea, right? That sounds really good. So try that tip next time you think about traveling internationally. So what I wanted to do in this episode was just some of the things I've learned. I learned, right, between planning for this trip, leading up to the trip, and a little bit of actual execution, in the hopes that it will help somebody else to relieve whatever stress that you have or whatever fears or apprehensions that you have about taking your kids with you on longer trips, plane rides, or even overseas. Now, I will only speak to plane rides because we have not taken a long trip in the car in a while. Pretty sure the farthest we've gone is Tampa. That's just a few hours. When they were much younger, we did a trip from North Florida to up to DC, Maryland, Virginia area. But they were much younger, right? They were much younger. So at 8 years old, the dynamics are a lot different than when they were four, maybe five. So I'm going to start with what I did before the trip. So like I said, we've known about this trip for a while, about a year. And we made the decision fairly early that we were going to take the kids with us because why not? And so what we did was we told them early. We told them, you know, they knew that we were going to go, my husband and I were going to go. But then we told them, you know, maybe you'll come with us. And, you know, we decided we'll make a family trip out of it. It's May. School will be out in a few weeks. We will, you know, school will be out in a few weeks. They are great students. They're great athletes. And a week away would be nice for all of us just to kind of reset, replug, and do something fun. So the very first thing I did was I told them early to help them build excitement and talk about the whole process. What do you need when you go overseas? And I think when we told them, it was before we went to Jamaica in January. So they wanted to go to Jamaica with us, and it was an absolutely not. And I talked about that in a previous episode of why you need to take a trip without your children. So we told them before that they would come with us to England. And that was kind of the thing that they weren't so mad about not going to Jamaica, because I was like, I'm taking you to England in the spring, right? So told them about it, told them about the process, what you have to do, how different it is from a domestic flight. Had to, you know, explain the difference between domestic and international. We talked about passports, and I showed them the passport application. I had filled it out early because I had gotten horror stories about how passports were taking months, like 3 months. And I had heard people say, I got mine back in 3 weeks. So I didn't want to chance it. And so I did their passport stuff. Pretty sure I did it in January before we went on our trip, because I wanted to make sure that part was done. So I very much incorporated them. They went and took their picture. It was all good. And talked about kind of the weather there, what's in England, the different landmarks and monuments, and just to build their excitement. And as we started reserving plane tickets and hotel rooms, we let them know every step of the way. They're old enough now that they ask a lot of questions. When I say a lot, I mean a lot. So it was really important to answer the questions that we could answer when we had the answers, because they were asking in January where they were staying and what kind of plane we were flying on and what time we were leaving. And we didn't have those answers yet. So I told them, I don't know. We'll figure it out. And so we told them, and we found that it was best to do an evening flight, right? An evening afternoon flight, so that it wouldn't disrupt their sleep pattern too much. My kids are fairly good sleepers. And so the idea of them being awake in the daytime, you know, like trying to sleep during the day and adjust in that way, it didn't sit well with me. So I wanted to make sure we got an overnight flight so that they could sleep. And they did. But that was part of the planning process, was that. Another thing I did was I notified their teacher early. I love their teacher. She's an amazing woman. And I let her know before we even booked the plane tickets that, hey, we are planning this trip. It will most likely be this particular week in May, just to give you a heads up, right? And she hadn't planned, you know, done planning for that just yet, but I always like to tell people ahead of time. And then as time gets closer, you remind, right? So I think I reminded her a couple of weeks before we left, asking for any work that she would be willing to provide so that they didn't miss a ton. And obviously there's no real substitute for in-class learning, right? And learning with the groups and learning, you know, but there's some of the concepts that they've been building on, especially since it's the end of the year. They're doing some reviewing. And she was able to give me a really nice packet. Like, I really appreciated it. There was a ton. And so we set up a meeting and she gave me the packet. We ended up not meeting in person. She's very organized. And so we didn't really need to meet in person. I saw everything. I saw the math work, the language work, the reading, and she included this cool scavenger hunt because they were going to be talking about parts of the body and the systems, skeletal system, you know, heart, lungs, blah, blah. So she gave us this cool scavenger hunt, and I actually was able to, I cut it out ahead of time. And so that's another thing. If there's anything you can do ahead of time, print things, do that at home before you leave so that you don't have to worry about trying to find like a print center or something like that in your hotel. So printed it out, got it all ready, put it in one folder, kept things organized, and I was able to do the scavenger hunt in our hotel room, which they thought was really fun. Also, another thing is we talked about the location. So my kids have been so excited to go on this trip that they would talk about England every chance they got. They would ask, you know, what's there? What would they get to see? We talked about Tower of London. We talked about Big Ben. We talked about, you know, the bridges and things like that. And, you know, we did some research. And what was really cool was we were visiting during the coronation, which obviously was not planned because the coronation was not planned like a year or so ago. So we did talk a little bit about the royal family, why they have kings and queens, things like that. We didn't do a ton of internet research, I'm not going to lie. I didn't do a deep dive. I really just wanted us to be super present and, you know, see things with open eyes, just really new eyes. But if they had a question that I could not answer, then obviously we looked it up. Okay, so now that I have covered what we do leading up to, I want to touch real quick on like the day before. And if you know me in real life, you know that I am not an in advance packer. I don't pack days in advance. I pack a day in advance just because, one, I like to do laundry. I do all the laundry before I pack so that I know exactly what we have. And so I don't come home to a basket full of dirty laundry because I hate that. Also, on the day before, I walked them through the day, which isn't out of the realm. Like I normally, every day, I usually walk them through what their schedule looks like from school to practice to games to all that other stuff. And so being that we were in a tournament, we didn't really get the timing until later in the week. So I was able to tell them what time our games were in the tournament and yeah, what we needed to do. So being that our flight was an evening flight, depending on how well they did in the tournament, determined if we were going to come home or go straight to the airport. Luckily, they did really well. And so we ended up going straight from the field to the airport. And we also talked about with them, I don't sugarcoat anything with my kids. They know what I know, obviously, if it's age appropriate, yes. So when it came to this particular trip, we talked about how, depending on the timing of the tournament, we may not be able to stay for the whole time, right? We may only be able to play a couple of innings. If we make it to the championship game, then, you know, you may not be able to play. It depends on what time that is. With my kids, I stress patience and flexibility with them. I ask for that from them and I give that to them, my patience and my flexibility, and in turn, they give me their patience and their flexibility, because in our life, in our family, the way we kind of operate, things change and we are fairly consistent with most things in our lives. But I believe that they need to understand that sometimes things change and you need to be able to pivot. And this was no different. So I explained to them that, you know, we may only be able to play a few innings, but if we get to play the whole thing, then we're probably just going to have to rush and go. And luckily, what ended up happening was we were able to play the whole game. They were able to get their medals, and then we hightailed it out of there. So it worked out well, but I didn't want them to be super disappointed if, for whatever reason, they weren't able to play all the game. So another thing that I did is I packed the snacks as usual, right? I usually pack things to drink, snacks to eat for me, for them. The grown-up Lunchables, I really like packing those. The Balance Breaks with the nuts and the dried fruit, I really like packing those. But I needed to make sure that, because we were going to be gone for a week, I needed to make sure that the things that I packed in the bag were not things that need to be washed. You know, I wasn't going to be able to throw them away. And that is not as environmentally friendly, right, as reusing. But for example, I usually have a huge ice pack that I use. It comes from the HelloFresh box. And instead of that, I just had in the freezer, I had a Ziploc bag full of ice. And so I use that instead. And so I was able to kind of give that to somebody as we were leaving because it had plenty of ice in it. The same with a couple of sports drinks that we had left over. I gave those away so that my backpack, my cooler backpack, was completely empty and could stay in the car. And I wasn't worried about, oh my goodness, something's going to rot. Something's going to stink. Something's going to, you know, burst. So really what I did is we checked the weather and we saw that it was going to be 40. It was in like the mid 40s was the low, and then the highs were low to mid 60s, which was cool. So I let them layer, right? So short sleeve shirts, sweatpants. My kids don't like jeans, so they never wear them. So sweatpants it was, t-shirts, hoodie. So one hoodie, one light jacket, not a windbreaker because not that swishy material, and then one heavier jacket, one that has like fur, but it still wasn't a big jacket, like bulky, because I didn't want to have a bunch of stuff in the luggage. So, you know, I didn't want to have heavy luggage for a pair of 8-year-olds. So that way, even at its coldest, they could have a t-shirt, the thin zip up, and then the heavier one if necessary. And so that's how it worked. And all I really told them was pack 8 shirts, 6 pairs of sweatpants, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what they did. The stuff is already folded. All you got to do is put it in there. Now, did I arrange it? Some of the stuff I rolled up, some of the stuff I folded up. So I did some of the arranging and kind of giving out tips like, hey, do you have your hairbrush? Where's your toiletry kit? Where's this? Do you have floss? Let's go down the list of things, because they've stayed in hotels before. They've gone on a trip before. And they know that certain things are essential. So I went through those things with them so that they were, you know, they had a hand in packing for this trip that they were really excited to go on, instead of me doing all the things. So keep that in mind when you are getting ready to go on family trip. It is not your responsibility to pack everyone's clothes. They're able-bodied people in your house. Now, if there aren't and you have to pack all their clothes because they can't, then obviously, but they're more than capable of packing their own suitcases and making sure they have the things that they need. That was that. And so, you know, we packed, we went, we did the things. And so the very last thing when it comes to the before was talk up the plane ride. Like, I've talked about all this preparation, but what was really important was making sure that they knew that they were going to have an amazing time, that this was an experience of a lifetime that won't be the last. And so we talked it up. We made sure that they packed their backpacks with snacks that they loved, their headphones, obviously, their stuffy, not all the stuffies. They want to take like 4. And I was like, absolutely not. Take 1. And their neck pillow, because we explained that this was going to be a long flight. They needed to be semi-comfortable. And so also in a travel Facebook group that I'm in, that I joined for the purposes of this trip in particular, some people suggested melatonin. And I bought some because it was fairly inexpensive. I ended up not even taking it because I wanted to have that sort of faith that my kids were going to go to sleep. It was a nighttime, you know, nighttime flight, evening flight. I didn't even take it. Ended up not even taking it. Since we flew overnight and they're good sleepers, I just chanced it. And what we did do is, you know, we hyped up the flight. We hyped up the fact that there's going to be like movies on the plane and they're going to serve meals and it's going to be really cool. They didn't stay up for any of the meals. They stayed up for none of the meals going. They stayed up for the meals coming back because that was at a different time. But they were really excited about plugging in their headphones to watch these movies. And so it was decided that they were going to be able to watch one full movie, one full length movie. And it ended up being one of the Marvel movies. And then they would go to sleep. Well, one of them, I don't even think he made it through a movie. The other one made it through his movie and he went to sleep. And that's how it worked. They woke up and it was pretty, we may only had an hour or so left to fly. And that worked out great. So yeah, it was a really good lead up. It was good. Thank you so much for listening to You Are Worth the Work. If you enjoy this podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, review, share, tell your friends, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.